Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dark Secret by Avalyn Page and Jerry Glenn. Narrated by Stephanie Rose and Alexander Sendiz. Chapter 1. Shelby. 13 years ago. Pregnant. That's what the doctor had told me with her disapproving eyes, while handing me a pamphlet on my options when finding oneself in this exact situation. Funny how that single word can change every plan you've made for your future. Suddenly, you and your wants don't matter as much as you thought they did, and your boyfriend isn't your whole world anymore. The only thing that matters is the tiny little being, protected and warm, deep inside your womb. That being becomes your everything. I swipe another brushstroke of blush across my cheekbone, staring into the eyes of the girl in the mirror before me. Is she really ready to be a mother? Short and curvy, with fingernails chewed down to the quick, a snub little nose I've hated for every single one of my 18 years on this earth. Too much eyeshadow, too much mascara, hair cut short and spiky, with pink locks scattered throughout the blonde strands. That's just what shows on the outside. There's more to me than all of that, because the best parts are inside, right? I'm a bright student, a good daughter, and a hard worker, even if that work is at the frost and freeze. Work is work. But what about college? What about Wyatt? We have a plan. A solid one. In September, I'll attend community college in the next town over to pursue a degree in childcare. It's not what I truly want to do, but it's the one course I can afford that will provide me a decent living. Wyatt is being patched into the Black Hood's MC, who are talking about sending him to school to get his degree in computer sciences. We've talked about our future at length. Wyatt has so many plans for us. But would that us include a plus one? Nibbling on my lower lip, I place my hand on my belly. We now have this little peanut to think of, and Wyatt doesn't even know yet. What's he going to say? Which option of that teen pregnancy pamphlet is he going to want to choose?
Shelby,
my dad calls from downstairs.
Miss Casey's here.
I'll be right down, I call through the cracked bedroom door. Shit. Casey is going to know something's up the instant she lays eyes on me. But should I tell her? No, I shouldn't. Not yet. Casey can't stand Wyatt. She's going to be pissed. Besides, this news is for Wyatt to hear first, then Casey. Then, I shudder at the thought. My father. If he hated Wyatt before, knowing I'm having his baby will send him through the roof and straight to the moon. Flicking my fingers through my hair one last time, I rearrange a few strands to ensure they're standing at a perfect, haphazard angle, snatch my purse off the end of the bed, and make my way down the stairs. Hey, I greet Casey as I press a kiss to my father's cheek, ignoring the burden of my secret when I pull away.
You girls behave.
He asserts from his place in his favorite recliner.
I spent your bail money on a case of beer.
He wouldn't be saying that if he knew where we were going. Casey giggles as if she hasn't heard that same joke from my father 1,000 times before. We're always good, Mr. D. Dad snorts. Taking another swig of his beer, he warns,
Watch it, Miss Casey. One of these days your pants are gonna catch on fire.
I roll my eyes. Bye, Daddy. In true Casey form, I've barely closed the door to the house before she's on me. What's wrong? Laughing, I walk over to her rusted Ford Taurus at the curb. I don't know what you're talking about. What's wrong with you? She glares at me over the roof of the car before climbing into the driver's seat. Once we're both inside and buckled in, she pulls out onto the road, heading toward the Black Hood's clubhouse. Don't lie. She retorts. How does she always know? I'm not lying. Shelby Joe Dawson, I've known you since we were 4 years old. I was there when you got yourself into trouble with Miss Lester for gluing her stapler to her desk. I was there when Bobby Dixon tried to kiss you on the bleachers at the homecoming game our freshman year. And I was there when Wyatt Hayden finally made a woman out of you. Well, not there, at that moment, but afterward. You know what I mean. Anyway, I know you better than you know yourself. I could tell straight away you have something going on, and I want to know what it is. Sagging my shoulders, I blurt out, I'm pregnant. That's it. Two words. Matter of fact. But inside, my heart's hammering, watching from the corner of my eye as she processes the news. She doesn't say anything. Instead, she drives another few minutes and pulls into a parking space at the clubhouse without a word. Turning off the ignition, she drops the keys into her purse and faces me, staring intently. I got you, girl. Does Wyatt know? Shaking my head, a tear escapes, making its way down my cheek. Taking my hand, she gives it a tight squeeze. I've got you. Music blares out of the clubhouse. This is a big night for the club, and an even bigger night for Wyatt. After becoming a prospect at 18, he'd worked his ass off for 2 years to become a member of the Black Hood's MC. He'd done things he would never tell me about. He'd learned things that were club business only, and I had quickly figured out it wasn't my place to know. It had been a rough 2 years for the both of us. But tonight, he gets his patch. Tonight, all his hard work and the struggles we have both faced are paying off. His dream is coming true. I can't do this, I announce, reaching behind me and grabbing at the seatbelt I'd just removed. I can't tell him. Not tonight. This is his night. Casey grabs my hand once more and holds it still. This is his night, and if finding out he's going to be a father with the woman he loves doesn't make it even better for him, he doesn't deserve you or the baby. God, I hope she's right. Get your ass out of this car and go tell that man he's going to be a daddy. She says it with so much enthusiasm, my fear of his disappointment fades a little. I climb out of the car and move toward the door of the clubhouse. Casey loops her arm through mine and grins over at a couple of the guys leaning against their motorcycles. The men here love Casey, but other than being a total flirt, she never gives them the time of day. It drives most of them nuts. Inside, the air is thick with smoke, and the music thumps so loud I can't even hear my hammering heart. I scan the room for Wyatt, but he's nowhere to be seen. Two, she glances back at me. Make that one beer, Casey tells the prospect tending bar. And do you know where hashtag is? Slamming a bottle of beer onto the bar top, he tips his head toward the hallway.
Last I saw him, he was heading back there to check out his new room.
Ah, right. I'd forgotten about that part. All patched members of the Black Hoods are given a room here at the clubhouse to store their shit or crash. Tonight, Wyatt would be given the key to a room of his own. You know which one it is? I shout over the noise as I move in that direction. Holding up three fingers, he shouts back,
Room 3A!
Casey grabs my shoulder and turns me around to face her, urging, You've got this. I try not to let fear overwhelm me as I wade through the crowd and into the hallway. Trying to calm my breathing, I walk past a bunch of closed doors until I reach room 3A. Finding it ajar, I take a deep breath before pushing it open. I've been inside these rooms before, which are all the same, really. A bed, a dresser, and a nightstand. A small ensuite bathroom is off to the side, complete with a shower. So, his room is basically what I expected, except for one thing. I never expected to see Layla and Sasha in his bed, naked. Sasha, whose back is to me, is riding the man beneath her. I can't see his face, but from his moans and the way his toes are curled, I'd be wise to assume he's thoroughly enjoying it. Layla, however, is facing me. She's up near the headboard, her pussy pressed against his face, her hands full of Sasha's tits. When she sees me, she freezes, her eyes wide with shock. Then, curling her lips up in an evil grin, she rocks her hips faster. She doesn't stop. She doesn't tell Sasha I'm standing here. Instead, she continues to ride Wyatt's face, making a show of how much she's enjoying it. All of this happens in a matter of seconds. I don't make a sound. They don't hear my heart shatter into a million pieces. They don't hear me sob as I turn and bolt down the hallway. I knew Wyatt was around women all the time at the club, including Layla, and it's no secret she and I don't get along. Hell, it's been the cause of a lot of our quarrels. But I never believed in a million years he would betray me like this. "What happened?" Casey probes, her face twisted in anger and confusion as I approach. I push past her, rushing toward the door. "I want to get out of here!" "Shelby!" she calls out, scrambling to keep up with me. "Shelby, wait! What's going on?" Tears pour down my cheeks like a waterfall as I make my way to her car. Pressing my hands against my belly, I think of my tiny peanut and how Wyatt's betrayed us both. The locks click when Casey presses the button and I climb inside, wiping my hot tears on my sleeves.
"What the fuck is going on? What did that asshole do?"
she asks as she settles herself behind the wheel. The pain in my chest has me gasping for breath between sobs.
"Just get me out of here, Case, please."
When her warm hand lands on mine, I turn and look her in the eyes when she assures,
"Shelby, I've got you."
Chapter 2. Hashtag. If you had asked me where I saw myself after graduating high school, I'd never had said being a member of an MC. I was destined for a 9-to-5 life. But when a friend hooked me up with Judge for a job, it all just kind of happened. One little hacking job turned into two, then to prospecting. Now, 2 years later, I'm a full member. Fuck, it feels good to finally have my member patch stitched to my cut. A culmination of 2 years, two hard fucking years of grunt work for the members had paid off. If I never see another dirty bike with a bucket and a toothbrush again, I'll die a happy damn man. The last few years haven't been without personal sacrifices. Shelby, my girlfriend, had been along for the ride. All throughout high school, she was right by my side. When I missed classes to do shit for the club, she helped me catch up on any work I'd missed. When I had to cancel a date at the last minute, she never got upset with me. This woman gave her all to help me succeed. Had it not been for a shared detention period, the two of us may have never met in the first place. I was the bad boy she couldn't resist, and she was the good girl I corrupted. She grew up surrounded by a big family and old money, whereas I bounced around from foster home to foster home until I turned 18. No longer the state's problem, I was out on my ass without a second thought. We're as opposite as you can get, but we work. When the MC came into my life, I would never have imagined how much it would appeal to me. I wish I could say the same about Shelby, though, as it's always been a struggle for her. How she ended up with a guy like me, I'll never know. But that woman is my fucking everything. Her sacrifices for me end tonight. This party isn't just about me. It's about us. I may be a full member, but I plan to make her my old lady in front of the club tonight. More than that, really. But the second half of our night would be away from the eyes of the club. The ring has been burning a hole in my pocket since I picked it up this morning from the pawn shop. The owner, Bobby, offered to let me do a little side work to pay for it.
Looks like you've already been celebrating, enjoying your party, and what club life has to offer already. I like the enthusiasm. Judge's voice echoes from the doorway of my new room at the clubhouse, his massive arms crossed in front of his equally massive chest. Stepping into the room, he spies the large set of boxes near the desk I'd moved in earlier today.
The fuck is all this?
My computer. His brow arches at my response.
You need all those boxes to do that web shit you do?
Can't work my magic on an ancient phone like yours, Judge.
How long have you had that thing anyway? It belongs in a museum. He pulls out his first-generation iPhone from his back pocket and holds it up to me. A phone is for calling people. I don't need all those bells and whistles you have on yours. I type in a number, it calls. All a phone should do. If he thinks my second-hand iPhone is high-tech, I can't imagine what he'd think of the new top-of-the-line phones on the market now. That thing should be a damn doorstop, I tease him. Still works, doesn't it? For now, it's one iOS update from crashing. I'm gonna pretend I understand whatever shit you just said to me. Pocketing his phone, he retrieves something else from his pocket and tosses it to me. It jingles as I catch it in my hand. I examine the key on the keychain. What's this? No patch of mine rides a hand-me-down. It's time you have a ride that matches your rank. He smiles at me like a father would smile to his son, pride clear as day on his gray-bearded face. Paying for your tuition this fall is a small drop in the bucket of what this club can give you. This is just a taste, son. You keep it up, there'll be more for you and your girl. Judge saw my potential after I completed my first job for him a couple of years back. I'd always been good with computers, and I'm only going to get better once I start college in the fall. A gift from the club to expand their capabilities. After all the years of my foster parents telling me I was going to end up a drug addict like my mom, the club is giving me an opportunity I could never have afforded on my own, giving Shelby and I a shot at a good start in our lives. She's outside if you want to take a look. He leaves the room and I follow behind him through the main room of the clubhouse and out the rear entrance. Under the floodlights of the building sits a cherry-red 2016 VRS CDX Night Rod Special. It's the exact bike I've been eyeballing for the better part of the last 6 months. Every time one of the members sends me to the local Harley dealership for parts. How in the hell did they know I'd been looking at her? You've got to be shitting me, Judge. No fucking way. You just gonna stand there or you gonna check out your new ride? Twatnot yells out from one of the patio chairs around the fire pit that just yesterday I power washed from my own damn party. His parting gift is my mentor, asshat. A few of the other club guys sit around with some of the club girls in their laps. If you don't want it, I'll take it off your hands. The fuck you will, Judge growls, clapping his large hand over my shoulder. Go check her out, son. I stalk over to the beautiful piece of machinery and rub my hands over her smooth exterior. You're rubbing that bike like you're touching a woman, dude. Get a room. Karma ribs from the peanut gallery. Your girl's not gonna like another woman being in your life. Fuck you. No thanks, sugar tits. My dance card's full tonight. He gives the perky little blonde sitting on his lap a squeeze, making her squeal. Where's your lady at anyway? Figure she'd be riding your cock with all these girls around, staking her claim. She'll be here any minute. Shelby had called earlier to say she was going to be a little late, and that she'd meet me here at the party. She usually rides my ass about arriving early to shit like this, but maybe your dad's giving her shit over coming out to the clubhouse again. I've been telling her to just let me talk to him, but she won't allow it. I know the son of a bitch hates me. But if she says yes tonight, he's gonna have to get used to seeing me around. Normally, I'd be annoyed, but it gave me more time to get shit done in my new room. She bringing that hot friend of hers, the one with the small rack and great personality? The bastard winks at me and starts laughing. Twatnot has an eye for the ladies, and he's been chasing after Casey since the first time she came to one of our parties. The one voted most likely to be Texas's biggest queen bitch, Shelby's best friend. My adversary. Anytime Shelby gets into trouble, Casey is always by her side. She's a bad influence on her, and that's saying something coming from her outlaw biker boyfriend. Casey is the last person I want around my girl, and has been the reason for several of our most recent fights. I shoot him the middle finger. Fuck you, dickhead. If I didn't have to take Casey as a package deal, I'd have put a stop to her attending the club's parties long ago. We don't need that kind of evil polluting the air. How Shelby can stand to be around her is lost on me, because 2 seconds into being in her presence, I want to gouge out my eyes. I thought she'd be the first person you'd want at your party. Let me repeat myself. Fuck you, dickhead. It's cute when you get your feathers all ruffled up like that. Have you seen my girl or not? Maybe you missed her, being holed up in your room all night. You're missing out on all the fun, kid, seeing as your patch party only happens once. You should be out sampling the buffet. He runs his finger down the cleavage of one of the hangarounds. Looks like that one's been sampled enough by the looks of it. The girl on his lap sneers at me. Sneering back, I peer down at my phone. She's more than 20 minutes later than when she told me she'd be here. Definitely not like my girl. I pocket the keys to my new ride and head back inside, thinking maybe I'd passed her when Judge and I had walked out. The party has been raging for hours. She might have snuck in and not made it back to meet me in my room like we'd talked about earlier. I scan the clubhouse but see no sign of her. Swiping my finger across the screen, I pull up my contacts and call her number. It rings twice and goes to her voicemail. "The fuck?" I mumble, trying again. This time, it goes straight to voicemail. I try a third time and get the same thing. Without a second thought, I bolt from the clubhouse and straight to my bike. "Where's the fire, Hash?" GP yells out as I pass by, but I don't acknowledge him, my focus solely on Shelby. She never ignores my calls, not even when she's pissed at me. I need to find her and figure out why she's ducking me. With a flick of the ignition, my bike roars to life between my legs. I check my phone one more time before taking off. Nothing. No return calls, no texts, no alerts. The cameras I have set up around the apartment the club had been letting me use hadn't sent any notifications to my phone all afternoon. If she's there, the chance of her not tripping the cameras is slim. The club life's dangerous, and having eyes on her and our soon-to-be temporary home are priority to me when we're out handling club business. Where the fuck could she be? I audibly growl when her name pops into my head. Fucking Casey. Pounding in her number, she picks up on the second ring, the road noise filling the receiver. "Where's Shelby?" I demand harshly. "I know she's with you."
"She's not your problem anymore, asshole."
"The hell she isn't."
"Why would she want to be with someone like you? Lose our numbers, prick."
The line goes dead. Fucking bitch. She's done something. Shelby wouldn't run out on me like this. I have to find her. Popping the kickstand, I peel out of the parking lot, swerving in and out of traffic until her apartment building comes into view. I don't even bother trying to find a parking spot, pulling straight up into a loading area near the front entrance of the building. I look around the lot and see Casey's piece of shit Taurus isn't in her usual spot. Not a good sign. Taking the steps to her place two at a time, I reach the door and pound the fuck out of it. "Shelby!" I yell. "Darling, you in there?" Silence. I lean my head forward against the door as I continue to pound on it. "Come on, baby, answer the door." Think, where else could she be? Outside of Casey and I, she doesn't really roll in any other social circles, which is partly my fault. Her dad and stepmom hate my association with the club, and as her dad has put it more times than I can count, I'm putting his little girl in danger. Let's just say that any time she wants to spend time with me, she has to come up with an excuse to leave the house. It hasn't been easy. "Fuck!" I scream, punching my fist against the door, leaving a dent in the gray metal. Heading back down to my bike, I fire her up and head to the one place I never wanted to cross the threshold of again. Her dad's. After about a 15-minute drive, I arrive at one of the largest homes on the block, nestled into an old-money neighborhood on the city's northeast side. Driving right through the open metal gate, I ride straight for the front entrance where her father stands staunchly on the large front porch, his arms folded across his chest. The security system I helped to install for him is doing its job a little too well for my liking.
"Get off my property, boy! You're trespassing!"
he shouts, his thick southern accent biting out every word. Dismounting my bike, I stalk toward him, every muscle in my body coiled with tension. "Where is she?"
"She's gone."
His words hit me like a freight train. "What do you mean she's gone?" Charging down the steps, he stops a few feet away from me in the driveway.
"My daughter is no longer your concern."
I snap. Lunging, I grab him by the lapels and draw him closer to me.
"You'd like it that way, wouldn't you, asshole? But she loves me. She wouldn't just fucking leave like that. What have you done to her?" I growl. "Tell me where she went."
Shelby's dad shoves me back hard, and with one swing of his arm, he slams his fist into my jaw. Shocked, I fall back, landing on my ass in the gravel driveway.
"My daughter wants nothing more to do with you. She's finally gonna live her life without you."
His eyes are wide and his chest heaves as he stares me down.
"You stay the hell away from her!"
"Honey, is everything okay?" Shelby's stepmother, Lorna, calls out to us. Looking up, I see her standing at the edge of the porch, shaking.
Do I need to call the police?
Everything's fine, sweetheart. Go on inside. He was just leaving.
He smiles back at her with a wave, but she doesn't move. Turning his attention back to me, he kneels down, close to my ear, and whispers,
You step foot on my property again. Not even your club will be able to protect you from me.
Without another word, he rights himself, turning his back to me. He trudges back up the steps to his wife, and they disappear into their house, dismissing me one final time, dismissing the life I'd had planned for his daughter, just like she had. With a hole in my chest where my heart should be, I pick myself up off the ground and walk to my bike, but not without taking one last look at the house of the girl I love, before riding away from the property. On my trip back to the clubhouse, I think about Shelby and what I could have done wrong. She's been my everything. Even as I was getting my patch this morning, my mind was on her and the commitment I had hoped to make to her tonight. The commitment that's burning a hole in my pocket, nestled inside its velvet box.
Chapter 3. Shelby. Present Day. I slam my fist down on the detective's desk, sending office supplies scattering onto the floor. She's not late! Somebody has taken her! Detective Fisher leans back in his seat, scanning the debris left from my outburst.
Miss Dawson, I'm simply trying to look at all available avenues. Most cases of a missing teen is the result of them wanting to spread their wings, stepping out on the rules put in place by their parents. They take off, have some fun, then return home with a hangover and needing to sleep it off.
It's all I can do not to reach across his desk, take his smug face into my hands, and shake some sense into him. My daughter is 12 years old. She's not a teenager. She's not spreading her wings. I lean forward, getting in his face, and pin him to his seat with a glare. I'm telling you, there's something wrong here. Hayden always comes straight to my shop after her day at summer camp. The detective sighs and removes his glasses, rubbing his eyes with the tips of his fingers.
I'll send word to all the units on patrol, okay? But I don't want you to get your hopes up. Your daughter will likely show up before bedtime tonight.
Panic claws its way up my throat. Hayden has been gone for nearly 6 hours now, and I've watched enough crime shows to know that the first 24 hours are the most critical if you want to find a kidnap victim. I'd come to the police when she didn't show up at my tattoo shop after camp and hadn't arrived home by 8 o'clock. Her friends didn't know where she was, and the camp organizers reported she had been there all day. Hayden is a reliable kid. She goes to a programming and technology camp for gifted kids she affectionately refers to as nerd camp. She follows the rules. She helps out around my shop. She's my little adult in a child's body. And my gut is telling me everything is far from okay right now.
Do you have kids, Detective?
His eyes harden.
No, ma'am, I do not.
Well, let me educate you on what it's like to be a parent with a missing child you know is in danger. Yet some know-it-all detective is telling you she doesn't fit the criteria to take her case seriously.
He sits a little straighter as my voice grows colder, my anger rising to the surface.
Your entire reason for getting up every day is gone. The one person you'd lay down your life for has disappeared, and you're the only one who seems to give a shit. And while your world is spinning out of control, and your child is getting farther and farther out of your reach, you have a detective who thinks he knows her better than you do. He lumps her in with a group of kids who have nothing in common with your child other than their age.
I sit back in my seat, fisting my hands.
My daughter is a computer prodigy. She's been developing games and creating code since she was 6 years old. She has friends at school, but she spends most of her time doing what she loves, coding. Do you know many computer prodigies who like to party, Detective?
Fisher sighs.
No, ma'am, I do not.
I clench my teeth together. Issue an Amber Alert. Track her down now.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?